Shall go to Titus chapter 2. Again, Titus is there. Paul sent him to Crete to set in order the things that were lacking. Talked about last week, sometimes we can read our Bibles left to right or top to bottom, but as truths are explained, we can look at it a different way, and that way can be from a foundation moving up. All right, so we'll recap. We'll look at Titus chapter 2. Here's the vision for the things that the people at Crete are to look to. Here's the vision. So Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 13. As we await the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the vision. The thing to focus on up high is as we await the blessed hope and appearing of Jesus Christ. The foundation is the leadership. Leadership is there to set in order the things that are lacking. So people are going to be put in place to now move forward. How do we keep our eyes here and get the behavior we want to the vision? We need to teach things that are sound doctrine, a sound teaching, sound instruction, right? Okay? Well, leadership is here to teach what's lacking. We're going to see it's with behavior. Most doctrine isn't going to be a lot of heavy things like the Trinity and the rapture and the millennium and all those heavy truths are good. But you're going to notice as you read the New Testament, that a lot of it is on just behavior, okay? Christ is in you. He sets you free from sin. To live in Christ, you have the ability to not sin, okay? So they're to teach sound doctrine. Through this, we'll have proper behavior. So my mind is focused on the vision, okay? And the vision is I'm waiting for me to meet Christ in the air. While I'm doing that, I'm going to have sound teaching. I'm going to know my purpose, why I'm here, what to do while I'm here. And it's not very complicated. It's not a whole lot of stuff. It's pretty simple, okay, which will lead to proper behavior. The focus is not the behavior. The focus is on heaven, Jesus Christ, which will, as a byproduct, we will get proper behavior. Who am I in Christ? My identity in Christ. Okay, my significance in Christ, my value in Christ, my meaning in Christ. That will produce behavior. We never address behavior as the frontal problem, as the frontal issue. Okay? Proper behavior comes as a byproduct of where is my heart? My heart is here. The pumping part is here, but the focus is here in my brain. Spiritual warfare, the battle is over your mind. Okay? All right. Let's look in chapter 2. Now we know that there's some people that are there that are teaching wrong things. So Paul is going to help Titus what to focus on. Chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, the you there is Titus, teach what is fitting of sound doctrine. Again, sound teaching. What's to follow is the sound teaching, is the sound doctrine, okay? Older men should be sober, serious, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Now that sober there is just clear-minded, okay? Clear-minded, I have a good focus, I know why I'm here, okay? I have a clear focus of life, okay? That is the sound teaching, that's the sound doctrine. Notice he's not saying, let me explain to you the concept of the Trinity. Let me explain to you how detailed, you know, we need to go into systematic theology, although it's great. Dennis has a great book on that. It's a good book Dennis has. Excellent. But it's not an unfolding of these deep, hardcore truths that are good for our faith. Mankind has compiled what they think we should learn as sound doctrine. Paul is explaining to those at Crete the sound doctrine he wants them focused on. Okay? Crete is an island that was mainly designed to put prisoners on. When the prisoners got released, they couldn't get off the island, so they would stay there and start their own businesses, do what they wanted to do. Okay? They're very lazy, gluttonous, okay, full of different pride and envy. And so Paul is going to help combat that. Hey, our men need to have these things coming out of them. Sober, serious, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Those are the teachings. That's the sound doctrine, sound teaching. Titus, I want you, as you go from town to town, as you go from village to village, teach these men to do this. This is their focus. As I look, as I understand Christ is coming, I'm living my life today as if Christ is going to come get me today. I'm living my life today as if Christ is looking down saying, I'm coming, here I come. As we await the appearing of Christ, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because today is the day. Today is the day. Next we see, verse 3, likewise, older women should be reverent in behavior and not false accusers, not be enslaved to much wine, but teachers of good things. Why? Why is that important? Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be self-controlled, pure homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be dishonored. That's why. The sound doctrine, the deep truths, the main things that's going to really reflect Christianity in Crete is behavior. Behavior. What you're going to notice in these four groups of people here, I think there's four, we'll find out, is the standard. Okay? The standard of living. The standard is what separates these people. Okay? The standard. Christ is in me. I have the freedom to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But since my mind is focused on Christ and the appearing of Christ, it's going to move me to want to know more about the one I'm focused on. And the more I know about the one I'm focused on, the more my behavior reflects my true identity. Okay? In order to get here, we need to have some people, teach some people some things. They're ignorant. When someone receives Christ as their Savior, their number one problem is taken care of. They have a home in heaven. Praise God. But all their thought patterns are there. All the past traumas there. All the bad experiences are still there. It's now up to people like us to teach them, hey, I'm sorry that happened, but your circumstances that happened to you are not who you are. That's not who you are. So we have to renew our mind. We got to, you know, take out and put in. It starts with things that are lacking. Okay? People get frustrated because they just don't know. Too many times churches focus on behavior. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And they forget to teach, this is what we should do. This is how we do it. But the mindset is focused on, hey, one day we'll be with Christ forever. One day we'll be with Christ forever. Okay, here's the standard. Pretty simple standard to follow. Verse 6, likewise, exhort young men to be self-controlled in all things, presenting yourself as an example of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, gravity, incorruptibility, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. Why? So that the one who opposes you may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. How many of us have some sort of doctrine book at home? I have a doctrines book. Okay, some of us have some doctrines book. Okay, good. It's actually better that you don't. Okay? So I'm actually glad. Because the things that we're looking at right now aren't going to be in your doctrine books. Okay? well-meaning people who love Jesus will say, hey, this is what I think is important. I'm going to put it in a book for you to follow, and it should be important to you. Here is what is important to Paul. This sound doctrine, the sound teaching, the basis of their faith is integrity, gravity, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Why? So the one who opposes you may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Look at verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to please them well in everything, not answering back or stealing, but showing complete fidelity so that they may exemplify the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Notice how Paul's not saying, hey, in our culture, it's bad to have servants and slaves. Let them all go. He's saying, no, this is how servants should obey. This is what servants should do. Why? Because they may exemplify the doctrine of God and our Savior in all things. Because I might not have chains or serving a master here on earth, but you're living out and showing you are bought with a price. You have a master in heaven. So we're all servants. We're all servants. So Paul's trying to get across here to Titus to teach those people there in Crete. Now, if you look at these doctrines, they don't seem, many of us, some of us don't know a whole lot about what to even look for in doctrine, but those of us that may have been to church for a while have an idea of what kind of doctrines we should be looking for. These are the doctrines. These are the main teachings. These are the main instructions that we should all be focused on, even us 2,000 years later. We're not even the original audience that is being written to. This is to those people at Crete who are lacking things. The information being given is what they're lacking. The information that they're given is what they're lacking in. Pretty simple stuff. Now let's look at why. Let's look at the why, summing it up. Okay, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men in respect to Christ coming on the earth, living a perfect sinless life, dying on the cross, and raising again 3 days later. That has been seen. That has been done. In that teaching, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That grace of God that brings salvation, what does that prompt us or move us to do? Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and godliness in this present world. That is the Christian's purpose. That's their purpose. See that? Paul is helping Titus give them, what am I living for? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What do I do? Here's your purpose. Okay? My purpose is in this world to live soberly, righteously, and godliness in this present world. How long? When do I stop? When do I give up? When do I quit? When do I say enough's enough? How long until I achieve this goal? Well, technically, you keep doing it as we await, verse 13. The blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of times, people just need a direction. Right? A lot of times, people just need to know, what do I do from here? I am saved, now what? I'm saved, now what? And many people have ideas on how they think that person should look, act and feel and do. And Paul is giving Titus a clear example. Paul is giving Titus a clear example on, hey, this is their purpose, that we should live soberly, righteously, in godliness in this present world. Verse 13, as we await the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, why? who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a special people, zealous of good works. That's why. Jesus Christ was that example. In Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself and became a servant, and he became obedient all the way to the death of the cross. I think Hebrews talks about, though he was rich, he became poor for us. Can you imagine being a king in heaven and leaving heaven to be born of a virgin and live a perfect, sinless life, and yet people still hate you, cast you out, hate you so bad that they actually end up killing you? So that's the one that bought and saved us. That's the one that says, hey, I'm allowing you to come to heaven while you're on earth, since I am now dwelling inside of you. This is what I'm asking. I just want a people that live soberly, clear thought process, righteously, not be caught up in all the things of the world. And I want people to be moved, be zealous, which means I'm excited to do good works. Isn't it kind of embarrassing to think that Christ would even have to ask that of people? Hey, heaven's your home. I've given you everything. You can have peace, joy, comfort, love, and joy. You can have all those things. Hey, all I'm asking is that you just be excited about doing good. Just be excited about doing good works. That's what's lacking in Crete. There are people who are born again, going to heaven, but they can't even look forward and be excited on, you know what? I'm going to do some good today. They're not even doing that to their own people. Now, you got to remember, in this culture back here, there's a lot of survival happening, right? It's like prison. You have got to be in a certain group or you're not going to make it. There's the wealthy of the Romans, and then there's the poor. There isn't really a middle class that we would all fall into. So you need friends to rely on in this world 2,000 years ago. And they can't even be excited about doing good works to their own people. It's like telling your children, can't you just be nice to your siblings? I'm not asking much. Just talk nice. Act nice, behave nice. Am I asking too much, really? I mean, we teach in our house the closest thing to heaven should be our home. I hope when you come over that vibe's going on, because sometimes, it's usually my fault, not being clear what I'm asking the kids to do, which is never true of Jesus. He's always clear. Just like Paul to the Cretans, very, very clear on what he wants them to do. Okay, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness. So over here is doing bad, being lawless, living for me, myself, and I in sinful things. And he's saying he wants to purify for himself a special people, zealous of good works. Verse 15, teach these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. So we see here, chapters 1 and 2. I'm going to do a lot of summarizing now, okay? As you read your Bible, read ahead these small books one time through and look at what is the focus? What's the highest peak? What's the main thing that Paul wants them to focus on? This right here, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to look at my Bible from a foundation in layers going up, not left to right, not top to bottom. Okay, a process unfolding on, there's a foundation of things that's lacking. The next step is, okay, how do we fix that? We have got to teach these Cretans, these gluttons, and these sinners some sound doctrine, some sound teaching. As they learn who Christ is, how Christ is, what Christ is, to them personally. as a byproduct, their behavior will change. You have got to get them to focus on their vision, which is you will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Sometimes it goes counterproductive to how American 21st century teaches. Bad behavior, I need to punish the bad behavior. That's nowhere listed here. And these are grown adults that you would think would know better. There's no punishing bad behavior. They're ignorant of how to get good behavior in Christ. They're born-again people who are stuck in their environment, how they were raised, survival of the fittest, what got them there, probably because of prison. Those things need to be unwired. You don't hit them head-on on saying, well, you're a bad person, you've done all these bad things, and blah, 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 blah. No. Let's set our heart on heaven, because we're going to be with Christ forever. You just don't understand what it means to have Christ in you yet. That's okay. Everyone starts somewhere. Now that I'm saved, now what? Let me teach you. Here's what it means to have Christ in you. Here's what comes with that. You have joy, peace, gentleness, comfort, meekness, faith, and temperance, which is self-control. You can have all those. In fact, that's exactly what Christ wants. He's saving you from doing all the bad stuff to now just doing good. Just doing good things. Sometimes we lack people that can teach sound doctrine. Things are caught, not taught. The biggest things you pick up on are what you see, not information told you that you try to memorize. We could have the very, very best teaching. I could be the best, most wonderful scholar of a teacher of a pastor. I could know all theology. And yet if our environment doesn't reflect godly behavior, we will be known as a bad church. Not because the information given, the information is the purest, it's the best. Help me out with some great words about myself, guys. Come on, let's go. No, I'm just kidding. But if we have all the best information and the environment doesn't reflect that, what good are we? People come in and go, oh, that church? Yeah, nope. Have you listened to the sermon? Because it was awesome. No. Things are caught, not taught. Our children, our friends and family learn in the environment they're being raised in. Paul is teaching Titus, you have got to reshape and reteach the environment. The behavior. Titus, you have to act this way. What's the standard? The standard is we're going to be with Christ. What's that look like? Proper behavior. How do I get there? You need to learn a few things. You need to learn a few things. Focus on Christ up here. As a byproduct, this will naturally take care of itself. Kids learn to speak and act in the home they're raised in. You could tell them, I never taught you that. No, but you do it all the time. Hey-o. No, but you do it all the time. I never taught you that. Well, not verbally, but boy, the life you live sure shows that. Right? Our kids are a reflection, good or bad, on the environment I raise them in. Right? Like I tell our Wolfpack kids in football, hey, when you guys are playing in a game, the game is showing Coach Jesse where he succeeded and where he's failed. It's showing the coaches what we need to work on, okay? Something as simple as when you take the handoff from the center quarterback and you turn your hips and you hand to the running back, I don't know why this happens. We drill this over and over and over. Come here, Levi. This is so basic. It's crazy. You're the quarterback. Turn around, Let's do a 22 dive, okay? 22 dive on one. Ready? Down, set, go. See this elbow coming up right here? It is the most basic, simplest thing. Because if I do this, the football could bump my arm and we fumble. Behind the line of scrimmage, which it's bad, okay? Grab it, something as simple as this. Then he bootlegs out. I prepare for impact going through the line. Two hands on the ball. We do this every single day in practice. Two hands on the ball. Once you get through the line of scrimmage, then you can come up with one hand and run. So basic, right? So simple. Thank you, Levi. You can sit down. You know how many times in practice we do this? Whatever side you're on, getting the ball. And yet, in a game, you want to know what I see? Panic mode sets in, and they reach the worst thing you could do. They reach their hands up for the ball. The ball hits their fingers and the fumbles. And it's like, have we ever taught you that? But what change in the environment? High stress, people yelling, screaming, right? Many times, their Christian life is just that way. The first year of me actually trying to live out the Christian life, and I'm being taught the basics, the ball, the side the ball goes on, lift that elbow up. But yet, a life circumstance happens. Something traumatic happens. Something happens unexpected. And sometimes, in the moment, I reach my hands out and cause a fumble. Sometimes I do that. And that game shows, okay, what were you taught to do? And they always know. Coach, the side of the ball goes on, lift that elbow. Did you do that? No. Why? I don't know. Panicked. Many times, people who are young in the Lord, and don't think that being at church for 20, 30 years means you're mature. It's practicing and living out by experience the things I know to be true. Right? So life happens. Boom! How do I react? I reach out and fumble the ball sometimes. You know what? That's okay. That's all right. We'll go back here. The teaching, where was your mind? On the circumstance, way down here. What should it have been on? On the Lord. There you go. So even when the lights are on and you're the one back there, the play stays the same, the handoff's the same, you're drilling what you know, just breathe and go, my focus is on the left elbow coming up, two hands on the ball, and I'm going to run for a touchdown. You got it. Ready, break. Set, go. Two hands on the ball, going through, run, run, run. That's it. And then after that first time where they actually do it and you go, awesome job, you only went 1 yard, but hey, you know what? What did you do well? I had the right elbow up, coach. What else did you do? Two hands on the ball through the line. Awesome. Now, the very next time that happens, they're not as afraid. They do it. They memorize it. They go and go and go. A lot of times, people give up and quit before it becomes practiced, before it becomes what I do naturally, before it becomes a habit. Thank you. The proper behavior. The people at Crete didn't change overnight. We're going to see coming up. They fumbled the ball a few times. But you know, they had the right teaching from Titus. They were being taught the right things. As they're being taught, their mind isn't on the lesson. Their mind isn't on what's being taught. It's on Jesus, going to be with him forever. It's up here. This is our motivation. This is what moves me to action. Everyone in here is motivated. It takes motivation to sit on the couch and binge on Netflix all day. Trust me, I know. A lot of motivation, lots of discipline to be there and do nothing. It's hard work, actually. But what moves me to action? I will be with Jesus one day, and today could be the day. I'm learning basic things, mainly behavior. If you looked in that doctrine, the things he's listing, not hard. And as a byproduct, we will get the proper behavior. Why? Because Christ is in you. That's why. I got to start reflecting what's inside of me. Whether people this way like it or not, I don't do what I do so that people can say, there's something different about that guy. I don't care if they think something different or not. I do it because I'm being obedient, because my mind is up here on the vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If Paul didn't teach Titus what their purpose was, they would be spinning and spinning and spinning, and pretty soon I'm born again, living an unborn again lifestyle, and I have a midlife crisis. Midlife crises come from me not knowing why I'm here. I'm doing something, it's just doing actions, but there's no substance. There's nothing there. I have no vision. I'm getting tired. I think there should be a different outcome by now. I have an expectation, and boof, it implodes. And they come see you and say, hey, I'm freaking out. What do I do? I'm done. What do I do? Or I'm this, or I'm that, right? They come to my office and go, and they spill it all out to you. Well, what's your vision? What are you living for? I don't know. Perfect. Is now I can reprogram that brain. If you're born again, this is who you are in Christ. This is how Christ views you. This is how Christ accepts you. This is the meaning you have in Christ. This is your value in Him, your significance in Him. Whoa, really? Absolutely. As they focus on that, and as they experience this throughout life, they might fumble a few times, okay? But eventually we get the proper behavior we want. We're helping them understand what they have waiting for them. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Pretty basic. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Football's still the greatest team sport there is. No. Start from foundation on up. As you're reading your Bible, look for a main purpose, a main theme, and see what's leading Paul to get there. And look at from bottom to top. And we can have that same process today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We are grateful for Jesus Christ and just all the great truths that we are taught in the book of Titus. Lord, allow us to take these truths and apply them to our life. Lord, allow us to see and understand what direction you're guiding us. Lord, you're speaking to all of our hearts right now, many of us in many different ways. But whatever way that is, Lord, allow us to say yes to it. And allow us to keep our hearts focused on the hope of us being with Christ, and that we can fulfill whatever it is that you're asking of us right now, and that we would walk out of here changed more in your image, because you're worth it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.